You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
All right, so we got this story about a neighbor dispute. And, you know, I think this is something that a lot of people can relate to.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to deep dive into this one and see what we can learn about neighbor dynamics gone wrong. You're living in a duplex.
Okay.
An older building with a shared back porch.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, you were optimistic, you know, picturing peaceful coexistence.
Right.
But as we know, things didn't quite go as planned.
Of course.
And it seems like it all started with these small annoyances that gradually escalated.
Yeah, it's interesting how these situations often unfold, right? They rarely just like explode overnight. Instead, they sort of simmer and build with each incident, kind of adding another layer to the conflict. What's fascinating to me here is the way that these seemingly, you know, minor annoyances can really impact our sense of well-being.
Yeah. And you mentioned your neighbor, Dave, started spending time on your side of the porch.
Okay.
At first, it was just him kind of hanging out.
Right.
But then it escalated to him using your patio furniture, smoking cigarettes, and essentially treating it as his own personal space.
Yeah.
You even mentioned a detail that really stood out to me, his weird, smug smile. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that detail about the smile, I think, is really telling. It hints at, I think, some of the psychological dynamics that are at play here. It could suggest a lack of awareness on Dave's part, or perhaps even like a subtle attempt to kind of assert dominance or control. You know, in conflict theory, this type of behavior is often referred to as a microaggression. It's a seemingly small act that carries a larger, often unconscious message.
It sounds like you were hesitant to confront Dave directly, at first wanting to be seen as like laid back and easygoing.
Right.
Is this a common response in these situations?
It's incredibly common to avoid conflict, especially when it comes to our neighbors, right? We strive to be seen as the good neighbor, the one who's accommodating and understanding. Plus, there's often this nagging fear of overreacting or making a big deal out of something that might be perceived as trivial.
Yeah. You mentioned overflowing ashtrays, empty beer bottles, and even chicken bones.
Wow.
That seems like it crossed the line from simply being annoying to like a genuine health and safety concern, especially with your dog.
Yeah.
How did you try to navigate this escalating situation?
Well, often when we find ourselves in this type of situation, we resort to subtle cues or passive aggressive tactics, right?
Right.
You mentioned your partner stacking the chairs, almost creating this like nonverbal barrier.
Yeah.
What was the thought process behind that?
Well, and as we know, it backfired spectacularly.
Oh, no.
Instead of taking the hint, Dave positioned himself on top of those stacked chairs, creating this image that you described as a king surveying his territory.
That visual that you painted is so powerful. It really highlights the importance of clear communication and conflict resolution. Passive aggression relies on the other person correctly interpreting our unspoken messages and motivations. And unfortunately, that's rarely the case.
You then move towards more direct communication, asking him to be mindful of the trash. But it seems like your attempts were met with resistance or indifference.
Yeah.
It's almost as if he was intentionally testing your boundaries.
It's important to understand the concept of boundaries in these situations, right?
Right.
A boundary is essentially a limit we set to protect our physical, emotional, and mental well-being. And when someone repeatedly disregards our boundaries, it can create this sense of powerlessness and resentment.
And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, Dave introduced chickens.
Chickens!
On a shared porch. It does sound a bit surreal. I'm curious, how did you react to that?
You mentioned Dave had this way of operating within a gray area, never really crossing a clear line that would warrant a formal complaint.
Right.
What do you make of that?
Well, that's a tactic that's sometimes seen in these types of conflicts. By avoiding those clear-cut violations, he essentially keeps you off balance, making it difficult to address the issue head-on. It can be incredibly frustrating to deal with.
And the emotional toll of this ongoing conflict is clear. You described feeling powerless, questioning your own sanity, and even dreading going out onto your own porch. You know your own home, a place that should feel safe and comfortable, had become a source of anxiety.
It's understandable to feel that way. When our personal space is repeatedly violated, it can have a profound impact on our sense of security and well-being. This is where the importance of assertiveness comes in. Learning to advocate for yourself and effectively communicate your needs is crucial in these situations. So you're dealing with this escalating conflict, you're feeling trapped, and then you try to involve the landlord.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Unfortunately, the landlord was of little help.
Oh, no.
You mentioned that they were unresponsive and seemed reluctant to intervene.
Right.
I imagine that just added another layer of frustration to an already stressful situation.
It's a common problem, unfortunately. Landlords often find themselves kind of caught in the middle of these disputes, trying to maintain a neutral stance while also ensuring the well-being of their tenants. Sadly, they don't always have the skills or resources to effectively mediate these situations.
So what did you do? You were dealing with an unresponsive landlord, a neighbor who seemed to be intentionally pushing your buttons and this mounting sense of frustration.
You decided to take matters into your own hands using a tactic that, while perhaps a bit unconventional, speaks volumes about the need to reclaim control in these situations.
Yeah.
Tell me about the furniture relocation strategy.
So you essentially moved your entire patio set directly in front of Dave's door.
Okay.
Effectively blocking his access.
Wow.
It sounds like something out of a sitcom, but I can only imagine how satisfying it must have felt in that moment.
There's a psychological element to this that's worth exploring. It's not just about inconvenience, right? It's about disrupting the power dynamic, reclaiming your space, and forcing Dave to acknowledge the impact of his actions.
It's a way of saying, you can't ignore me anymore.
Exactly. And it did get a reaction. He became angry, yelled, but ultimately had to move the furniture each time he wanted to use his door. What happened next?
Then it escalated into this back and forth battle of wills with each of us moving the furniture back and forth.
Oh, wow.
And then things took a darker turn when you received that threatening note from Dave.
Tell me about that note.
He basically told me to stay out of his space. That was a chilling moment.
Yeah.
It shifted the dynamic from just a petty squabble to something much more serious.
That's a crucial turning point, I think, in the story. It highlights how quickly seemingly minor conflicts can escalate when communication breaks down and emotions run high. It's a reminder that we need to take these situations seriously and recognize that they can have real-world consequences.
That's when you made the decision to involve the police, which I imagine was a difficult choice.
Yeah.
What led you to that decision?
Calling the police is often seen as a last resort, you know, a point of no return. It can escalate the situation and, unfortunately, doesn't always lead to a favorable outcome.
Right.
Especially in neighbor disputes. What were your thoughts at that time?
It seems that in this case, it was the catalyst for change. The officer spoke to both of us. And for whatever reason, things started to shift after that. The chickens disappeared, the furniture stayed put, and Dave retreated. Was it the authority of the police officer? the fear of legal repercussions or something else entirely.
Right.
We can only speculate. But the fact remains that this intervention, for better or for worse, seemed to break the cycle of conflict.
You achieved a victory of sorts, but as you mentioned, a bittersweet one.
Right.
You know, you'd successfully stood up for yourself and regained control of your space.
Yeah.
But at a cost. The experience left you drained, disillusioned, and ultimately you decided to move. Can you talk about that decision?
It was rough.
That's a common outcome in situations like this. The emotional toll can be so significant that sometimes the only way to truly heal and move forward is to remove yourself from the environment entirely.
Yeah, it's a sad reality. And it just underscores the importance of setting boundaries early on in these relationships, addressing issues as they arise, and recognizing that we have the right to feel safe and respected in our own homes.
Absolutely. What do you think you learned from this experience?
I think I learned some incredibly valuable lessons about communication assertiveness and the importance of self-advocacy. While the experience was undoubtedly difficult, it also served as a powerful reminder that we're not powerless in these situations. It seems like this situation really exposed some of those, like, unspoken rules and expectations we have around being a good neighbor.
It's like we operate under this, like, unwritten social contract.
Yeah.
Where we assume a certain level of respect and consideration. But, you know, those lines can get blurry so easily. And when those unspoken rules are broken, it creates this sense of unease, almost like a violation of trust.
It makes you wonder if these types of neighbor disputes are becoming more common, especially with more people, you know, living in close quarters, particularly in urban areas.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as density increases, so does the potential for friction, right? Shared spaces become more contested, and those unspoken rules of neighborly conduct become even more crucial. We also have to consider the impact of, you know, our increasingly digital lives.
Yeah.
You know, people may be less likely to interact face to face, which can make it harder to establish those basic connections that help prevent misunderstandings.
There's also the dynamic of renting versus owning.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like in your case, being a renter made it even more challenging to navigate this situation, especially with a landlord who was unresponsive.
Absolutely. Renters often have less power when it comes to enforcing boundaries or addressing grievances. And when you're dealing with an unresponsive landlord, it can feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
It highlights the need for stronger tenant protections and clearer communication channels between renters, landlords, and neighbors.
Yeah, communication really does seem to be at the heart of this. If Dave had been more upfront about his needs, and if you had felt more empowered to assert your boundaries from the beginning, maybe things could have gone differently.
It's impossible to say for sure, but it does raise some interesting questions. What if there had been a more structured way for you and Dave to communicate, like regular tenant meetings facilitated by the landlord? Or what if there had been clearer guidelines about the use of shared spaces? Could that have prevented some of the misunderstandings and resentments that build up over time?
It's something to think about. I guess this deep dive into your neighbor dispute has really just shown us that, you know, being proactive and assertive in communicating our needs can go a long way in preventing these kind of conflicts from escalating.
And even if conflict does arise, there are ways to manage it constructively.
Yeah.
Mediation services, for example, can provide a neutral space for neighbors to work through their differences and find, you know, mutually acceptable solutions. Sometimes having a trained mediator facilitate the conversation can make all the difference.
To our listener who shared this experience with us, thank you for your honesty. It takes courage to speak openly about these challenges. And even though it didn't end ideally, you demonstrated resilience and a willingness to stand up for yourself.
Your story has shed light on some important aspects of neighbor dynamics, communication, and conflict resolution. Hopefully, it will encourage others to be more proactive in setting boundaries, communicating their needs, and seeking support when they find themselves in challenging situations.
And remember, you're not alone in this. Neighbor disputes are more common than we might think. And there are resources available to help navigate these challenges.
Sometimes it just takes a little effort, understanding, and a willingness to find common ground. And remember, a good fence can also make for good neighbors.
On that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the complex world of neighbor dynamics. Thanks for joining us.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay neighborly.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.